but those that are responsible for those that are here today. Thank you for all that you do for your families. I think one of the toughest job descriptions, if we really understand it, is that of a father. And it's definitely something that we discount a lot. I celebrate the commitment to fathering that I see in this church. And I praise God for His patient mercies upon us fathers when from time to time we kind of blow our opportunities. Now, I recognize that some of us today find this day very difficult. Perhaps it's because either your own father is no longer with us, or because when you were young, he blew his opportunity to positively affect your life. For those in either case, I encourage you with the words from Psalms 68:5, where it says that God is the father of the fatherless, a defender of the widows, is God in His holy place. It's not really taught a lot of the impact that fathers have. You've all heard me say, my heart pours out for single parents, whether they're male or female. My heart pours out for them. They got a tough way. I can remember when Jan and I we were in graduate school and we had a daughter, and it took everything both of us had some days not to lose our cools. And our society, for lots of excuses, have enabled our fathers sometimes to get off easy. I am proud of the fatherhood that I see in this church. My aim this morning is to both encourage and exhort dads about the task of making disciples in their home. I recognize it's far easier to become a biological father than a biblical father to our children. Fatherhood is hard work. I want to explore some principles this morning taken from Scripture that Paul at first specifically addresses to father. Now, I find it interesting that Paul's addressing to father. We don't know much about his background, and we don't know that he ever had children. But he has some pertinent things to say that it's time that the church wakes up and recognizes that we are, as men, we're called to a specific duty. My first scripture this morning, if you'll turn to 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verses 10 and 12. And I think we have the ability to put it up. It's up there. Thank you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as fathers deal with their own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into His kingdom and glory. Fathers, you are an example of God. I wouldn't have 90% of the counseling I do had fathers made a better impression, leading the way to understanding the Heavenly Father. It's tough to understand God when your only example on earth has somehow fallen short. We have a tremendous responsibility. Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Thessalonica in verse 10, points out that you are witnesses, and so is God, of holy, righteous, and blameless. Fathers are to be holy, righteous, and blameless. Holy meaning set apart. And I got news for you. I believe fatherhood is a calling of God. It is not an act of appropriation. And I believe fathers in their homes are absolutely set aside by God, called to be an impact to their children. I believe that we're called to be righteous in our character and behavior. See, the lessons of life to our children are often caught, not taught. You've all heard me tell the joke of the little boy, the difference between a bad boy and a good boy. A good boy does as his father says. A bad boy does as his father does. No, we've got to reverse that in our time. If you want to see your children in the church and in faith, we have to set a godly example in our home. We've got to be blameless, above reproach. How many times have I've talked to young teenagers, and I get the duality of their father's approach in life. On Sunday, oh, how holy he is. On Monday, there's hell to pay. I was raised with a father like that. I'm not pointing any blames this morning. I think all of us fathers fall short of the glory of God. But we're called and set aside to be an example, to be blameless, to be righteous, and to be holy. Dads, you preach and teach through your words and behaviors in your house. As someone once said to me, one way to correct your children is to correct the example that the father sets. Your kids will want what you have when they see you living what you speak. That's a hard role. Fathers are also to care for their children. In verse 11, Paul describes his relationship. And you can just leave that scripture up if you would. Paul describes his relationship. For you know that we dealt with each of you as fathers deal with their own children. We have a responsibility to encounter every child where that child is. There was a survey done of fathering, and some of the fathers were very proud to say they spent 15 or 20 minutes a day interacting with their child. But when the study was completed, they spent less than 30 seconds a day in conversation with their children. Well, now, I know for some of you, because I had this role as a father, some of you, like Father Ed, travels all over the nation. It's very hard for him to be home 7 days a week. It's impossible for him to be home 7 days a week. The issue is not quantity of time, it's quality of time. For when Father Ed's there, he's present. We're called to be present. And as I look around this congregation and I see dads that are present in their children's life. We're called to set an example. We're called to care for our children. to deal with them, not on our terms, but where they are, to nourish them, to get close with each of our children, to provide counsel and wisdom in each of their personalities, to guide and direct their growth. We can't leave it to just our mothers, and we can't leave it to our schools. I have a situation right now where a young man, a young adult, has told me he's an agnostic. And as I look at his childhood, it was left to the schools. And he went to one of the advanced schools in Jacksonville. The schools that taught alternative lifestyles. Fathers, we need to spend time with our children. That's the most important thing we can do. We must, in spending time with them, we must encourage them. In verse 12, the word encourage, it means to come alongside with instructions and insight in order to move someone in a specific line of predetermined conduct. The word is similar to that of the Holy Spirit coming alongside of us to encourage us. It's for us to see in our children disappointment and to move alongside and to give them hugs and words of encouragement and to listen to them. Let them hear from us these words. You can do it. I know you can. I'm with you. Years ago, as a young father myself, I was impressed by another father who constantly spent time with his sons, who constantly poured himself, though he traveled at times, poured himself into their activities. I read a story in preparing for this message of a man up in the Northeast that spoke to his children every day, and every day he told them three things in the mornings before they left. He reaffirmed in them that they had within them what it took to make a difference, and that he loved them and was proud to be their dad. That second, that God places us in situations where there's situations already prepared for them that day, whatever day it was, where they would have a chance to be a difference maker. And they were to give themselves to that, trusting in God, that those spots didn't come up by accident. And third, quoting the words of King Solomon in Proverbs, he said, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." What encouragement words that he gave to three children every day. How many of us was raised with the expectation that we're a difference maker? That God has already established a line and a path, and that we're more than overcomers with Him in all things. Fathers, we're called to be comforters of our children. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says it this way, "Encourage the faint-hearted." Another translation says, "Cheer up the discouraged." When our kids are doing okay, they need encouragement. But when things are falling apart in their little lives, they need a comforter. I know God in heaven is the great comforter. I've had those situations where nothing seemed to go right and despair was all around, and the comforter would come and give comfort in those times of stress. Oh, fathers, we're called to be comforters to our children, to protect their little minds and their little hearts. And then we're to be urgers of them going deeper in faith. Our kids need dads who will give a testimony to them of what is right. And then we'll challenge them to go to the next level, to live lives worthy of God who calls us into the kingdom in glory. Fathers, we have the requirement not only at work to work hard and be correct, but at home to be correct and to be honest and to be courageous. I was dealing with two little girls a couple of months ago, and their family is in chaos. And dads being dads on weekends only is not a healthy thing. And the little girl was crushed because she saw her father acting rudely, speaking languages that she'd never heard him say before. Our children watch us. We set the example of what is acceptable and correct. And we've got to urge our children to go deeper with God. We got to urge it by the examples that we set. What's our priorities in life? Is it church? Is it sports? Or in my case, having had to go through inner healing of workaholicness, is it busyness? See, those terms, encouraging, comforting, and urging, are in present tense. They're things that we need to continually do. It's not something we do once, check it off our list, and go, what a good dad am I?